College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what else? College football. And man, you know, we had ourselves a pretty damn good week, if you really think about it. Now, of course, there was another double digits game canceled and all that good stuff, but we had some upsets. We had some super close calls and comebacks. We had some ass whoopings. We had some more coaches making excuses after the game. Florida Gators. We have a variety of things to talk about, no doubt about it. Obviously, the big upset of the week. LSU puts it together against Florida in the Fog Bowl, 37-34. A shoe came flying out of the fog. And nothing but excuses from the head coach. That's back-to-back, back-to-back press conferences where they lost, and he said some stupid stuff. Obviously, Coastal Carolina, you know, wanted to stay around and unbeaten before their big game. They did. They came back on Troy. Colorado last week had some folks saying, hey, we're undefeated. Shouldn't we get in? How about you just say, screw it, and change the rules for us? And then they proceed to get beat. The Big Ten, by the way, did change the rules for Ohio State. Mike Haynes got the biggest whooping they've gotten since 1998, McNabb style. But my Gophers did get a nice little win over Nebraska. So, I mean, there is a variety of games to talk about. Like I said, we actually had a whole lot of fun when push comes to shove on that weekend. And, you know, we got some games coming up, no doubt about it. Now, you know, the one that stands out, obviously, number 2 Notre Dame against number 3 Clemson, the rematch from a great game. Some other games that are going to be fun: Louisiana, our Cajun, Raging Cajuns, one loss going against Coastal Carolina. Oklahoma, Iowa State is a good game. So there are a variety of Tulsa, Cincinnati didn't get to play last week, but it really didn't matter because they had to play back-to-back, you know, weeks anyway in the conference final here. So that works. And there are some miscellaneous, you know, games kind of just thrown in there that we may talk about as well. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here and archives on blogtalkradio.com/ropeandoveradio. We do previews. We do predictions. We do the crafty, crappy pick of the week, which, by the way, another W. You took it right to the bank if you were listening to us. That is the last segment of the show. And just a bunch of betting banter, whether it's, you know, going over how the hell we lost or taking a look at against the spreads, upsets of the week, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and download it right there on Ropadope if you don't want to. You can find this College Ball Show under the Ropadope Radio Podcast on Apple Podcast, on iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, really across the board almost. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which is all over the place, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, maybe you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. They have a 7-day free trial. It's live streaming cable, no annual contract. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. Of course, they have the cloud DVR. And just for signing up right now, you get a free month, free 30-day trial of HBO Max. If you sign up for the AT&T TV Now Max package, that already includes HBO Max, plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 a month. That's AT&T TV Now, live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and see what's going on with him. How you doing, Marshall? How the hell are you, buddy?
I'm good. And, normally I always piss you off and ask you a random unplanned basketball question on our NBA podcast. So I'm going to start off today for a football question. This is a non-prepped Jeopardy question for you, a $500 value question. Okay, Chris?
Donovan McNabb, 1990, 88. No, go ahead.
You actually named a purse. I need you actually to name a piece of clothing.
Okay.
This article of clothing was chucked in the air and caused an upset. Do you have, for $500, Chris, what name an article of clothing that caused controversy in football this weekend?
I'm going to say a mask that was not fully up. It was just on the note, or it was just below the nose. Just kidding. No, it was a cleat flying through the air. I think the fog actually brought it in. I don't believe the kid actually did anything wrong.
What a beautiful moment. Unless you're a Florida football fan. So I got a best friend, and his younger cousin is like a little brother to me. He's a huge LSU fan. Like, no lie, the guy always supports his Tigers. He was watching the game, and we were watching together, and kind of texting back and forth in the group chat. And he was like, "What just happened?" And I had thought it was one of those situations where, you know, those players have like, sometimes they have like those little
play sheets or something,
yeah, sheets, or like or a towel.
Or a towel. Sometimes, yeah,
those
exactly.
Guys have a towel.
Yeah.
And I thought what I'd seen was I thought that the Florida Gator player like ripped the towel off and chucked it. So I was like, okay. And then the second you saw a thing fly in the air, you saw flags fill the air too. It was chuck of item, and then boom, three flags fly in the air. I'm like, oh shit, okay. But what? So I was watching. I had UFC fights. I had football games on. I had a bunch of stuff going on. I was using like my laptop and my two TVs, and everything. So I didn't actually hear the call. But Chris, honestly, the sweetest part to me is the fact that the ref said personal foul after the play was over. And Sports like throwing a cleat 20 yards down the field.
Yeah, right.
He actually said for throwing a shoe 20 yards down the field.
He's got a good arm too. I mean, they may have their replacement for Trask.
It was a good truck, but man, you just had a feeling in your gut like, uh-oh, okay, I see you. All right, well, you screwed up there. Now LSU did just enough. I actually didn't like how conservative they got. I mean, you talk about having some faith in your kicker and that kicker having some balls. I mean, that 100% credit, dude. You're on the road in a foggy atmosphere, and Coach O is like, dude, 54 yards, go get it. And I mean, we're talking about our home team, Minnesota. Like, sure as hell, Dan Bailey ain't kicking a 54-yard field goal. But I mean, dude,
57 too, by the way.
Or dude, that takes some stones in college football, and he drilled it. Like, LSU, in case you missed it, which I hope you didn't, because it was funny to see. Again, unless you're a Gators fan. If so, you know, tough times. It was a third down play, and I don't even know if the receiver caught the ball or he dropped it, but he was short of it. It was going to be like fourth and five. And after the play is over, the LSU wide receiver's shoe had fallen off, and it was just right near the play. So the Florida Gator DB just really, just stupidly, just picks up the shoe and chucks it. And most of Twitter was like, dude, what the hell are you thinking? I saw one comment, Chris, say, well, find me a rule book in the rules stating that no one can throw a shoe. Well, to me, it's a part of your equipment, and that's really no different than, dude, if you picked up, and let's say the dude's helmet slipped off, and you just chucked his helmet, or you know, or if the mouth guard, or if it, you know, let's say, you know, a shoulder pad, or any piece of equipment. I mean, there maybe isn't a rule that says, hey, Chris, in 29-B, a player will receive a personal foul for chucking a shoe. But again, it's no different to me than, hey, dude, you chucked the dude's helmet. Like, that's going to be a flag. So
I mean, I'm sure there is a rule that actually covers that. You know what I mean? I bet you there is. I bet you that dude didn't have his playbook out when he was saying that.
And yeah, of course, that's Twitter. So it's probably a Gator fan. But I'm sure there's something saying that a player's not allowed to throw the opposing team's equipment.
Like you said, helmet. same difference.
Yeah. So he does it. They go down and kick a field goal. Now then LSU also screwed up again. LSU plays this really, really passive defense. I mean, Pelini was playing a prevent defense that was like massive prevent. So Florida goes down there and actually gets three easy completions, because I don't know what the fuck Pelini was thinking at all. I was cursing up a storm there, because I was like, dude, you just had a miracle gift of a weird play, and you get the lead, and now you're dropping people back. So Florida starts their drive on like the 30, and Pelini's got like safeties back near like their own 20. I'm like, dude, you I don't think Florida's gonna chuck an 80-yard touchdown pass. So Florida, hell, Trask calls some great plays and dinks and dunks, and they get up for a field goal. And then it was really cool too, because with Florida kicking this field goal with there was so much fog, as we were talking before the show, they had a camera angle pretty much you were behind the offense.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of had like that Assassin's Creed video game fog look to you see it in like their game previews for commercials. And I honestly thought, Chris, that when the kick went up, I thought it was good. Because the angle and the trajectory I saw from my – and I got pretty good vision, I think, normally. But I thought it was going to be good. But as the ball went outside, it kind of hit the fog. And then I saw the officials do the wave of the hand sideways. I was like, oh, shit. And down goes Florida. And as you were saying, that now makes the SEC game much more title game uneventful. I mean, unless Florida could somehow knock off Bama, which I highly doubt. But, hey, what a crazy game. And I'm going to make one point. I'll throw it to you. Massive props to Coach O. This dude had 14 players get drafted. I believe four or five stars opt out on the season. People have been giving him tons of shit. Like, the dude's been getting ripped left and right by the media. And you know, rightfully so to some extent. Like, a coach is always going to take the highs and the lows. But you got your team ready to play and went in was a 23-point dog. So, clearly, like, dude, the people aren't quitting on him. I guarantee those kids love him. Yes, they've had a lack of numbers this year. They've had a lot of reasons that they could have mailed it in. But I think that was a good remembrance of, dude, this dude is still a great coach. His kids go all out for him, and it showed, Chris, because that was not an easy win at all for them.
No, not at all. I thought it was a great win, and obviously they got that interception that helped them a lot, gave them a lead, but it's not like they had like a made, you know, it was 24-17, I think was the 27-17, because they did get a field goal at the beginning of the first half, but I mean, you know, they stayed with them, and then they got down 31-27. Then that's where I thought, okay, you know, and then they also had a 3-and-out. I thought, okay, dude, I think they're going to start pulling away. But credit to LSU, they come back with a drive after, you know, it was back-to-back 3-and-outs by both offenses. They come back 34-31, and then were able to have two more times that they had the ball before they kicked a field goal. So that was huge, dude. And obviously, you know, the tight end was missing that plays a part. But the defense for Florida has always been a little like, I don't know. I mean, it was horrible early. Then it was like, it's a little better, but still a problem. And ultimately, it caught up with them in general. But for the Florida coach, I mean, we remember the A&M loss earlier this season, and he was mad because Texas was allowing, you know, fans in the stands, and that we better have fans in the stands. And by the way, you did. We better have fans in the stands, and just making an excuse. And then, of course, you know, they had to shut down the facility, and they had a 2-week break. And the coach got COVID too, right? Am I right with that?
Yes,
the coach
got COVID. Yeah.
And then after this one, I mean, come on, dude. First of all, he's talking about the kid. You know, the kid made a football move, basically. You know, it's like a normal thing when that's a disciplining teaching moment that you could have for the kid right there. You're kind of letting him off the hook. I'm sure he didn't let him off the hook, you know, in the locker room. But even that. And then he's bringing up Ohio State. Well, I guess we shouldn't even play because you know, it's better if you don't play. It's like, dude, you lost. Take it on the chin and move on.
Well, or, you know, if these big schools who are just getting the royalty from the NCAA, you know, what could have happened this weekend, Chris, we could have had actually an excellent game. We could have had Ohio State play Texas A&M. But these big schools don't got the balls that LSU and Coastal Carolina have. Excuse me, BYU and Coastal Carolina have. Like, we easily could have had a Ohio State A&M game this past Saturday. That would have been incredible. But, we can't afford that loss. Like, we're a top-end school. Like, we got to, you know, protect our name and make sure we make the playoffs. Well, hell, BYU and Coastal Carolina said, F it, we're going to go and play. They played a hell of a football game. And, yes, BYU lost, but they lost by 1 yard, and they put up a hell of a fight. But, no, because, that's such a stupid point. No, you should have the guts to trust your team and go out there and earn it.
The one thing I'll say is neither of those teams were in range to get a ranking. So it's really just to get to New Year's. So to take that risk with them, it's easier to take that risk for them, to be fair. And what day did that actually get canceled?
What are you talking
what day did it actually get canceled? Was it Wednesday or Tuesday?
Oh, Ohio State, Michigan? It was early in the week. I mean,
Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was Tuesday or Wednesday.
They could have done like BYU did and can't, you know, because I think BYU made their decision to play Coastal on Thursday. Well, hell, when you're getting these special treatment from the committee, why even go play it? But it would have been, you know, with these top-notch schools, though, they get a lot of love. So I'd be
at it. Well, would A&M want to do it, though, too? I mean, do we know that for a fact? Yeah, I don't know.
But I hear you. And if A&M wins, all of a sudden, dude, your resume of making the Final Four looks a lot more inviting. You know, like they really had nothing to lose because right now they're probably not getting in unless something crazy happens. So from that standpoint, yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, I hear that. Definitely. But what about? I mean, either way, the Florida coach is just like he's doing a good job. You could tell they're a better team with them.
Sure.
But take a loss, just take it on the chin, dude. Just take it on the freaking chin, man.
Agreed.
We haven't really talked early about the USC Trojans, but since they haven't lost a game, since they beat UCLA in once again comeback fashion, that quarterback Thompson is damn good. We mentioned him, Thompson Robinson, is damn good. But Slovis had five touchdowns. And I mean, what a freaking comeback. It looked, it looked bad. Down 28-10 right at the beginning of the first or in the second half, they went down and scored to make it an 18-point lead. And, you know, they just kind of came back, grinded back 28-23. They end up going down again by double figures, 34-23. Didn't, you know, had an 11-play drive, came back, got it within one, got a pick, got up 36-35, got back down 38-36 from a field goal, and ended up getting the job done under, what was it? Like, yeah, it says 16 seconds of that drive. So, I mean, in the closing moments, get a touchdown. That was crazy, dude. And just don't count USC out in the last like 4 minutes.
Yeah, we, I mean,
it just so happens all this guy do is win. And this guy is in his second conference final. He'll probably win his second Pac-12 title. And my co-host shows him no respect, folks. No respect. He's like Rodney Dangerfield.
We have a very talented quarterback who helps out for a coach who's clearly just not the best game planner. I mean, that he got down 28-10. I don't know. We've had to come from behind in each game. It's one thing to have a team that runs a team out the gym, but we don't run teams out the gym. We just always sneak in the back door last second. So again, a nice win, but I'm not going to be giving Clay Helton too much credit, but I will give Keaton Slovislav, correct? Because that dude can play some football. We, you know, back and forth, as Chris said, the whole game, UCLA kicked a field goal to go up. And then USC, I mean, Slovis calmly goes on the field. We had like 53 seconds left in the game. But then, so UCLA kicks it off. The big play was the run back. Like we, I think, I want to say within 5 yards, we ran the ball back to the 45 to 50 yard line.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
So that was probably the play of the game near at the end, because now in college, I mean, everyone knows that the clock stops on a first down. But, dude, when you get almost half the field down and you have a decent kicker, like, dude, that was huge. So we had to get maybe 20 yards. But, hell, we say F it. We throw a deep pass. I believe the second play of the drive for like 40 yards, we're down to the 10. And then Slovis throws a nice little fade in the end zone for a touchdown. I mean, they scored in almost like 30 seconds. So UCLA actually had a chance to move back down the field themselves. But another nice win, a crazy one again, but yes, we're undefeated on the year.
You can't fire him this year, right?
No, I still don't think he's the guy to, I don't think he's the answer, but yeah, we've found a way to get it done. I will say a stat that kind of shows why lose some faith in him at times. This was the first game we've played 5 games this year. This was the first game where we scored a third quarter touchdown. To me, that shows clearly our halftime adjustments are trash. Like, especially you see how high power our offense is, but it's like we always got to do that the last second because we're trailing. So, you know, it was really weird. That stat actually really surprised me. First ever third quarter touchdown of the year. But anyways, right. let's give credit to the players.
Yeah. Well, and another thing, Slovis-wise, if you think it was his, you know, doing, well, who recruited him to the University of Southern California?
True. Yeah. So, but again, defensively, UCLA made a lot of big plays. I know that obviously Kelly's done his time there, and he's starting to put together a pretty nice squad. So there was quite a few defensive mishaps. But hey, they won the game. Obviously, it's a big rivalry game. I know that it's not Bama Auburn, but I mean, it is one of those games where on the West Coast, it's always been a big rivalry. The games are normally always close. It's always a lot of trash talking and fun to watch. So I was happy they got the W. That was a good win. We'll see. You know, I think that they have a great chance to beat Oregon. Oregon's not been the regular team they are this year. I know a couple of weeks ago, like an ESPN article projected that USC could sneak into the Final Four if they go undefeated and win the Pac-12. I think with how it's currently set up, I don't know if that's going to happen. But, hell, to go undefeated this year and run the table, that is a good step in the right direction. Again, we have a talented quarterback. Yeah, hell, I can't complain.
And they'll be in the Rose Bowl. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And you're going to play someone from the big, maybe like Indiana or something. Who knows? But, yeah, overall, a nice win. They beat a crosstown rival. Had another late dramatic game. I'm very happy. Again, I'm still not a huge fan of the coach, but for this year, you can't give them too much shit because they are winning games, even if they're late at the last second. So, I think Slovis has a chance to be a Sunday guy. Again, I don't follow stuff like McShay does. I don't know all the resources, but he throws a really good ball and the kid's just got, he's got to tell, you know, there's some quarterbacks in college where you just watch and it's fourth quarter, game's on the line, and they just get that presence in the pocket, like, dude, I'm good, things are chill. Like he doesn't seem to lose his focus much. The dude's always just, there's a calm confidence in him which not everyone has.
Well, speaking of slap in the face and just not a calming thing to read, this was with 3:36 left of the third quarter, North Carolina had put up 576 yards Dean's defense. 670 was the previous record by actually, it's funny because UCLA's record, but McNabb back in 98 had just tore him up. And of course, you know what's crazy? A lot of it had to do with the rush. It wasn't the pass. They're known for both, but really passing. They had two runners to go over 500 yards. Overall, they ran for 55 carries, 554 yards, six touchdowns. Carter had 308. Williams had 236. They only threw the ball 19 times. I mean, why throw it when you don't, you know, it doesn't even matter. They had 31 first downs. I mean, it was 40-19 on the time of possession clock. It was just disgusting. The defense coordinator's definitely going to get canned. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is. I know that our defense coordinators, a lot of our defense coaches have been out the last couple of weeks with COVID and all that, and that's great and all, but still 500 yards plus of rushing does not it's just really ugly. But a big win by North Carolina in a good way. They had kind of been funky of late, too, so they got a nice big win to close the season. As I mentioned, Coastal Carolina, another really fun game to go back and forth. Carolina ended up coming back on that 42-38, survived against Troy, who's not as bad as some folks may think. Iowa kept it moving against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's having problems, 28-7. Like I mentioned, Colorado was talking about, well, we're undefeated and we don't get to play USC. It got post or canceled. So can we get in? And then Utah smacks them in the mouth. No, that was a close game. 38-21. It was a competitive game, I should say. A lot of good games in general. Bama just destroyed Arkansas. No huge surprise there, but the way they've been doing it on offense, Alabama becomes the first major college football team to go 10-0 in conference play. It marks the Alabama's fifth undefeated regular season, excluding conference championship games, under Nick Saban, 2008, 2009, 2016, 18, and now 2020. So they look damn good doing it. But a really fun weekend, dude. I mean, a lot of crazy stuff happened.
It really was. It was. Let me ask you. We talk a lot about coaches, and normally it's me ripping on them, but is it possible that Whittingham in Utah, obviously the dude's happy there. I think he's been there for ages. Is it possible he's one of the best coaches in college football that if he went to a top tier program could really just fill right in or make someone like another level up? I mean, if you just look at the consistency the dude's had, right? I think his bowl record is like 14-2. I just think he's one of those coaches where if he was to fill in for Harbaugh at Michigan, or, you know, I just think that he, obviously he's not, I know, like the hoorah rah guy like PJ Fleck, but I think that if you can consistently have a really good program for like 10 years in a row at a place like Utah, it would be kind of fun for him to go to a top edge program and just show off the skills he has, you know, because we hear so much about all these guys in the SEC, like, you know, Dan Mullen and Kirby Smart and all these SEC guys.
And like, that coach from Ole Miss, we hear a lot about him too.
Damn straight. Hell yeah. I just think I would like to, and he probably won't. Clearly the dude is very content. Like I said, he's getting a good pay job. He's got a health program. I would like to see Whittingham go somewhere else because he could probably become a coach that the regular college football fan doesn't know of. And he'd be a household name like immediately. Like Michigan would probably love to have him come in and do what he's done in Utah and bring it over. Just random statement. But Chris, to consistently be I would say an above average program, that dude's probably a sneaky, a really good coach. It's just a shame that he's just very content being the coach for the Utes.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. I mean, Harbaugh was a very consistent coach coming into Michigan. So I don't know if I'd use that exactly because he had a better run at Stanford than he has at Utah. And they haven't won. First of all, they don't play in a Power 5. Oh, my bad. Pac-12 is a Power 5. My bad. But he hasn't won that conference yet. So I think that has to play into it. But you make a great point on if he did into the ACC, SEC, Big 12, Big 10, whatever, a higher profile name. Yeah, I think you make a good point because he's been solid. You know, he recruits at a level that he – it's not like crazy, but he develops. And, yeah, I mean, they've been really, really solid. And it does seem like he's happy there because, you know, some guys are happy with the pressure not being in a pressure cooker, or they're just happy at their job or whatever. I think he's got to win the conference, though, too. I think that plays into it a little bit. But, yeah, I think he could I think you're right about he's just as good as coach as some of the other guys that we think is good or not or great or whatever. I think you make a really good point about that. And sometimes you think, well, it's going to go really good, and it doesn't. Like at Nebraska, that got beat by Minnesota, who had 33 players out and played during the game, 22. Nebraska was trying to sue the Big Ten. Too bad they don't get any of that Longhorn money. Oh, wait. That's right. There's no Big 12 network. Anyway, 24-17, my Gophers are going to now play Wisconsin in the championship week thing where if you can make it anyway, every Big Ten team gets that ninth, well, what should have been a ninth. Most of them don't have nine games, obviously. But the Badgers and the Gophers are back on after 117 straight. It's 118 now. So that's pretty dope way to end the season that way because we don't even know what the hell the bowl stuff is going to be. BYU, you wondered, are they going to be a little pissed off, you know, losing that game? Like you said, they didn't have to step up and schedule. Now, another thing about BYU is their schedule sucked. So it's a lot easier to be like, oh, we'll play them. But their other schedule, like we mentioned, would have been damn good. They ended up winning 28-14, getting the job done. Rutgers, who's now won multiple Big Ten games, they won in overtime over Maryland 27-24. Penn State beat Michigan State. That was a 15.5-point spread on Monday. It closed at 14.5. Penn State won by 15. Vegas does know what you're doing, but you got to get the bet in early so you could have maybe won there. That Memphis-Houston game, another hardcore barn burner. That was a fun game. Memphis actually came into that as a really slight underdog. They ended up winning 30-27 in a tight game. Just a variety of fun games. Any other games that you want to talk about before we move on, sir?
I will just say that, speaking of coaches who've been around forever, Iowa and Kirk Ferentz might be probably the longest tenure in all of college football, D1, for sure Power 5, probably D1. But they played a Wisconsin team who – much like Utah, and actually a more prevalent program than Utah, if related rankings, is having a rough year. I mean, I don't, you know, to some extent, I think there becomes a haze that comes over coaches to where this is our program, this is our offense, this is what we do. But how effing long can an offensive coordinator not just, okay, hey, let's try 5-1. Let's try something different. Because for the love of God, if you're truly a Badger football fan, in the last three games, you've scored 7, 6, and 7. Like, how are you not pulling out your hair? I watched that game because I live bet Iowa. I won the bet pretty easily. Wisconsin's only touchdown of the game was off a muffed punt, which was a dumbass decision. And the Badgers had like a 3-play, 35-yard drive. So you've essentially played three games and scored 13 points because that was just a stupid play. So it just amazed me, Chris. Okay, let's off tackle right, off tackle left, up the middle, tight end pass. Like, how can a decent program lose three? I don't know. It just blows my mind to see the same play calls or not have a different quarterback or do something different. I'm more of a Badger fan, obviously more than you because of my family's friends connections, but dude, to score 7, 6, and 7, and you're supposed to be a respectable Big Ten program. Maybe the great performance you put on week 1 against Illinois was just kind of a lucky moment. Because, dude, that's you're averaging less points a game than, like, Akron. And Akron was our crafty pick of the week. It just blows my mind how a team can be so shitty offensively for a team that's normally at least respectable offensively.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you're right. You are right. Now, you know, COVID does play a part. They have, I think, three offensive linemen out. So when there's not a ton of teams that could have three of their starting offensive linemen out and be some sort of offensive juggernaut, especially when, you know, the mold that they have guys that are junior, you know, redshirt juniors, redshirt seniors and all that. But I know what you're saying. I do know what you're saying. Sometimes the play call can be a little funky. Even when they've been going and only lose once a year, there's still times where you look back and go, huh, really that Russ Wilson. Other than that year, their offense has been like, I mean, they've had some good years with the offense. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, I understand. I do think COVID plays a part, though, and they've had some damage at that. I mean, they before the season even started, they had to take a break, and they had to take two separate breaks. So I'm not – it's tough to get overcritical. But, yes, the last 3 weeks, I mean, when you look at it, you're like, oh, my God. You know, but watch, they're going to, you know, bunch of young bucks they're going to play next this coming week against Minnesota. And watch, they'll come up and put up 40 and be like, okay, how do you like that? And then you're basically setting up for my team to get their ass kicked. Dude. I don't like
it. I'm not planning, that is not the intent,
I don't
sir.
Like no, but you're right. That is a good point. They've been struggling, no doubt about it. They just haven't been able to get out of first gear. They can't even get into second gear. They've been in neutral, or they're in neutral on a hill right now offensively. So that tells you a lot. You're going backwards. I'll tell you what. We do have a variety of good games coming up for the last week of the conference/regular season. We know just around the corner, there's not going to be 14 freaking practices this year, you know, that you get for bowls and stuff like that. Totally different. It's actually coming around, you know, very soon, actually. But the biggest game, clearly the rematch between number 2 Notre Dame and number 3 Clemson. Clemson 9-1, obviously losing that one game. Now, they didn't have their guy Lawrence in that game. But if we're being fair about that, though, you're right. Or not you're right, but, Pete, you know, no doubt about it, you know, that they didn't have the guy. But they did have 3 fumbles, I think 2 or 3 of them, from their stud running back, and one of them got scooped and scored, because that's what the game came down to. Because DJ, the guy who's taking over next year, oh boy, had 439 passing yards. So it's not like they couldn't move the ball. What they couldn't do is run. And then what contributed to even more problems was the running back, who is a stud. He had 18 carries for 28 yards in that game. And overall, 33 carries for 34 yards, because there was a bunch of sacks, and that goes into your sack numbers too, because DJ had 13 carries for 2 yards, but of course some of them were sacks. So I don't blame the quarterback for this one. So I think there'll be a difference at quarterback, no doubt, because we know he's the number 1 pick in the draft, but we can't blame the quarterback on that loss, because he had a good game, and it really just came down to turnovers. But that still says something, that they weren't able to run the ball, which is something that they're normally very capable of. And they had a late lead, 33-26, that their defense didn't show up as much as we normally see, too. What's your feel here, one, for the outcome of this rematch, and then let's say Clemson does win? About what, 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, actually, that when we talked about this, we thought that's probably what's going to be what it'll be, that both of these teams will make it. Do you still think both of the teams will make it? Because now you look at Notre Dame and go, well, we have a win over Clemson, And our only loss is to Clemson, so how couldn't you put them in? But then the second team, you know, you only lost in overtime, double overtime from Clemson's viewpoint. So what do you think will happen in the rematch? And then are these two teams in as long as Clemson wins?
Oh, all right. I think that I don't
mean to overload you there. Sorry.
No. I was trying to pause for an effect. I don't see how Clemson doesn't just kick the shit out of them. Yeah, not a fan of Dabo Swinney at all. He drives me nuts just like Dan Mullen does. I think Dan Mullen's trying to become part Dabo to me. But I think Clemson rolls. I think if you look at the last decade plus, when Notre Dame's played a big game, they've normally lost. I think that Clemson obviously has a huge reason to be motivated for this game. I think they're the more superior team. I think that obviously that game plan that Notre Dame had against them was incredible. I do not think that Clemson's secondary can be that awful again. And I do think that Notre Dame, I mean, their offense hasn't been flying off the charts since then. I just think that was a shootout game. But I don't think Notre Dame's offense can be as effective, Chris. I do think Trevor Lawrence is going to be focused. I think that Clemson's offense will be just as good or better than we saw earlier, because you have a quarterback who's, again, I obviously taking nothing away from what the kid did, but Trevor Lawrence is just as good of a quarterback or even better. So I think Clemson's motivated. They have the better players. I don't think their defensive scheme can be worse. And Notre Dame's on a big platform game. And I do think if Notre Dame gets ran out the gym, I do think they might be losing out on a spot. I think they could, again. But as
do you think that would play into that it was a backup quarterback or something? Because I really think that if we're going to do that, then, or if they're going to do that, I should say, the College Football Ranking Committee, the only thing is, it's like, well, so the running back didn't play? Because the running back is what the reason why Clemson won or lost his game is because the running back, clearly. Three fumbles.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly really don't care about the college playoff ranking because it's such a fucking mess anyways. I mean, I don't know. I think that's like, it's such the good old boy system. I mean, we bent rules for Ohio State. And I mean, I don't know. Iowa State being the fact that Iowa State has a legitimate chance to still make the Final Four is troublesome. And the fact that they're above Cincinnati, like, that just really goes to show you how that the Final Four setup is for the top-notch schools. Again, I get that Iowa State is having a nice year, but they lost to the Raging Cajuns, and they lost to Oklahoma State, and you move them up on a week when Cincinnati doesn't play, yet Ohio State doesn't play, and you fit them in the Big 10 title game. So, honestly, who really gives a shit if we're talking about, but for the sake of this debate, I do think that yes, if let's say Clemson wins by 30. Okay. Let's say they just knock them out the gym. Okay. Bama wins. Ohio State wins. Could you see A&M getting in over Notre Dame? Absolutely. Like I think that Notre Dame has to have a respectable effort.
Because A&M, then their big win just got downgraded a little bit, whereas Notre Dame's wouldn't get downgraded. It would get upgraded in a sense.
I should retract everything I just said. I think with how this is set up, unless Ohio State loses, which I really doubt they will, they're a 20-point favorite, I think the Final Four is probably going to remain the Final Four. And they got their boys set up. I think, okay, let's go back to step one. I would bet Clemson. I would love to tease them. Okay, again, if you're new into gambling, okay, if you get a teaser, you're betting a team. You got to find a team to tease them with. So I would do I'd find a game I like with Clemson and use Clemson as like a 6 or 7 point teaser. So instead of Clemson having to win by 10, they got to win by 4 or 3. I think that's a guaranteed bet. So I would tease Clemson or bet Clemson. I think Clemson wins. I think they blow them out. And then what will happen to Notre Dame? I don't know. I guess we'll see. But as you just said, it's going to be really hard for someone to overhop him. I'm not sure. But yeah, Chris, do you see? Okay, let me ask you this. What would be the game plan for Notre Dame? You did have an incredible advantage in the line of scrimmage. So maybe you look to maybe run the ground game a bit more, try to control the time of possession. I got to imagine Clemson's offense is going to be probably wanting to score at a pretty quick pace. So if you're a Notre Dame fan, or what's your optimism? How do you find a way to win? Or do you just think, hey, you know what? Even though as a back quarterback, we played a great game the first time, we can do it again.
Yeah, I think you just stick to the same thing you did, basically. I mean, like I said, the thing came down to fumbles. So, I mean, they've been a good defense pretty much all year. Look what they did to North Carolina a couple of weeks ago. North Carolina's pretty damn good, even though they got off to a good jump and they stayed in that game. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the game just came down to fumbles. So, I wouldn't change a ton if I were, you know, if I were Notre Dame. They're going to try that front seven is, I think, fairly legit to stop the run game like that. And I actually threw a lot at you. So we kind of went all over the place just within this matchup. But yeah, I mean, I'd have to answer that question. I'd have to really rethink of the game plan. And that's kind of a deeper question. So I can't give you some kind of great answer. I would have liked to think it through a little bit more.
Let me ask you another.
It just came down to the turnover. So.
Well, let me ask you another fun.
Why don't you just tell me how you feel about that? Because that'd be better. Because obviously there's something to it.
Well, my main point is just bet Clemson. I heard that the look ahead line from Vegas was going to be 7 going into the game. And maybe a book or two open it at 7, but I think if you would have had that line at 7, you would have seen, I mean, there would have been money being hammered left and right. So 10, it maybe makes a better pause a little bit, but even so, I'd feel pretty confident with 10. So let me ask you one fun one, then we can move on to other games.
Let's is this going to be something I got to Google, or is this going to be something I can say, okay, thanks. It's the third question of the fucking
We already had the shoe Jeopardy question. This is.
I know we don't have a crafty pick of the week this week, but I mean, golly, keep going.
All right, so let's just say Notre Dame gets smoked and Iowa State beats Oklahoma. Can Iowa State get into the 4 spot? So okay, we'll say Bama wins.
I know
Ohio State wins. Notre Dame gets her ass kicked. Iowa State beats Oklahoma. Does Iowa State skip Florida and A&M, because obviously Florida lost to Bama. A&M just didn't play a title game. Tough shit. Could Iowa State be the Final Four?
They could. I think I do think, though, what's their second loss? Oh, our Raging Cajuns. How could I forget? I think that'll – I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think they'll do it. Plus, their name is Iowa State. You know what I mean? I'll just be honest. They're the Cyclones. You know what I mean? So I think that they'd rather have Notre Dame. These four teams right now, they've lost out on ratings. I mean, Fox lost $18 million for not doing the Michigan-Ohio State game. So they're probably just like, hey, let's just, yep, okay, no problem. So, no, I don't think so. I don't think Iowa State. And I was going to say, can they even beat? Let's get to some predictions a little bit.
Sure.
Iowa State, can they finish off this very, very impressive season that they've had? Can they finish it off and get the W, or is Oklahoma going to nip him in the butt, and then here we are, they get beat, they have this great season, they've already beat them once, it's tough to beat a team twice, just ask what Notre Dame's going to go through. What do you think here? I mean, they beat them 37-30 in the first game. Purdy had one of his better games that year as far as stats for yards, because he hasn't thrown for a lot of yards this year. I mean, I don't know. I don't think so, to answer your question, no. But do you think they can even beat Iowa for this – or, I mean, Oklahoma for the second time?
I think it's really hard to look at the progression Oklahoma's made this year if they have, because – Oklahoma's played a bunch of really shitty Big 12 teams. So, yes, Spencer Rattler's gotten better. Yes, their defense has improved. But Oklahoma has pretty much been a 20-point favorite since that Iowa State game. So, and as football fans, especially as bettors, you always like to say, okay, how has this team progressed? Who's done what? Like, how has this team transformed over the year? Or have they been neutral? Or have they, you know, gone backwards? Like, it's really hard to say, man, Oklahoma, since that loss to Iowa State, man, they've been playing great football. Well, you've been beating up on some people, but you've really played no one exceptional. So it's almost is it's I guess got to kind of imagine this is pretty much we're going to have a deja vu. It's going to be the same team.
So Iowa State just had a shit year anyway, because they haven't beat anybody is what you're saying.
No. I'm just speaking strictly.
If it's the same thing with Oklahoma, then that means because they beat a ranked team in Oklahoma State 42-13. That's a decent win. Otherwise, we'd be just discounting Iowa State whole season then.
Well,
they just lost to that team 24-21.
All right, so they lost to Iowa State. You beat Texas. This year, Texas, that loss really don't mean much. Okay, you won at TCU. Okay, you beat Texas Tech. You beat Kansas. Okay, and you beat –
Kansas
so since
is a
you,
good club, dude. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, so since they lost at Iowa State, they played – six football games and one was like a respectable win. So I literally don't know. I wouldn't bet this game because I think these teams are probably where it's probably, I don't see what Oklahoma's done, but yeah, by beating TCU, Tech, KU and Baylor, I just don't know if Spencer Rattler's really transformed or if Lincoln Riley just ratcheted up the offense and, let's see what happens. I don't know. I wouldn't make a gambling prediction just because, yeah, you beat Oak State, who had some goofy games. Yeah, I got one. And then Oklahoma State game, where Oklahoma did win against a ranked team, Oklahoma State's quarterback got hurt in the first quarter. So Oklahoma really does not have an impressive win since he beat Iowa State. So if I'm going into this game with a making a prediction, I'm flipping a damn quarter because neither team has done a whole lot of shit since. So, I wouldn't bet the game. I think Oklahoma wins just because it is hard to beat a team twice. But I wouldn't bet a dime on the game just because I think we're going to have a close game like usual. And, again, I just don't know what to expect from Oklahoma.
Man, I'm sorry, Iowa State. You just shit on your whole season, dude. But they've had a good year. I don't care what you're saying. Because we've all the way up until this, we've agreed on that. But I understand what you're saying. I think it's just tough to beat a team a second time because it's not like they've devoured them the first time either. Here's a pick'em game. Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, the squad that has a win over Iowa State, by the way. They obviously, you know, earlier in the year did have a slip up to the Coastal Carolina club here. They beat them 30-27. This is about 2 months ago. Are the Raging Cajuns going to rage back and end up winning the conference over the 11-0 Colt? 11? They got 11 games in. Wow, that's impressive.
Oh, man. This all right, this one's tough because we adopted the Raging Cajuns like 8 or 9 years ago. It's always been our adopted team. And you can't help but kind of just love that.
You're not going to try to adopt another kid. It's a stepkid. Okay.
Yeah. So, right. But no, I'm picking Coastal to win. I think that from watching the both of these teams play, there's been a lot of moments here where the Raging Cajuns offense has not been as fluid as Coastal's offense. I think Coastal has a better offense. And I think defensively they're pretty similar. So I'm taking the team with the better offense and who has all the confidence in the world against the team who's kind of, well, honestly, it's just been, I feel sick doing
this. This show's
but.
Been rough, dude. This is, I'm getting emotional.
I'm picking Coastal to win just because their offense, I think, is just better. But if our Raging Cajuns win, I'm not going to shed a tear.
They better not do that to the Raging Cajuns quarterback, I'll tell you that. Then we got a problem.
Dude, you do that, there's going to be some boys pushing back. It won't just be the BYU quarterback getting beat up there. There's going to be a good old midfield scrap if that happens.
That dude's more of a running quarterback, too, so I think he'll be able to dip out anyway. He'll be like, out of here. I saw that tape. I'm going opposite just based off of bloodlines. And I'm a stepchild, so I'm not, you know, you got to love the steps, but it's still, you know, I mean, you're first born is what I'm saying. Louisiana, I'm going Raging Cajuns, but that is a good call. I was actually a tad surprised at the 3.5. I thought it'd be about 5, 6.5. But then again, they did have a tight ass game. So I'm assuming that the Raging Cajuns are going to rage back. We both think Alabama's going to win. You think Florida, loosey goosey Florida, as long as they keep their cleats on and don't throw any other cleats, you think that they can sneak under that 17? Or I think that's a fair line. I'd actually probably go Alabama by 17. Do you think they can sneak under and just kind of shot? That'd be a shocker just to get under 17.
That Bama offense has just been dismantling. I think they're averaging around, like, it seems like 42 a game. So if you're averaging around 42 a game and you have a wide receiver who's getting Heisman talk, they're on a warpath.
And I don't think that tight end's returning either.
They were talking about on the Florida LSU game. They talked about how they're keeping him out as precaution, so he's ready for this game. So I think there's a chance.
That nipped him in the ass.
Yeah, no shit.
Hey, let's keep him out for this game because we know we're gonna win it.
I mean, yeah, coach, we're a 23-point favorite. Let's let Kyle Pitts just sit out this one. Okay.
Dang. They messed up Pitts.
Now,
dude,
again, that was speculation from the reporters on the field, but I mean, those ESPN guys, they know as much as we do, or you know, or plenty more. So, yeah. So yeah, I would not bet against Bama. I've been having a lot of betting takes this show. If you listen to one thing I say, I would strongly urge you not to bet against Bama because I could easily see Bama winning 48-20. Or you know, that offense is clicking actually, and Saban's really got that defense clicking too. The secondary stats I've heard from Bama this past week were actually like really impressive. Like everything is falling into place at the start of the year. Bama's defense was a little shaky, but again, like usual, Saban makes adjustments throughout the year, gets the kids to get better. Like everything falls into place for him like normal. That defense is good. Their secondary is good. The offense is insane. You got three damn people up for the Heisman on your offense. Like, yeah, I'm not touching Florida. And we could see a loosey-goosey Florida team or one that just said that is mentally checked out because you just had a heartbreaking loss to your potential season to make the Final Four.
Yeah, it's very true. And then last but not least, or pretty much last but not least, undefeated Cincinnati ranked 17th in the country. No, I'm just kidding. 8-0. They've had a damn good season against Tulsa, who, you know, has a good defense, good team. They haven't really been able to put up points, and they give up .145 on the ground, which going in against Cincinnati is not necessarily the best one there. What do you think here? Cincinnati had a really tight game 2 weeks ago or 2 or 3 weeks ago against UCF. They ended up getting it done 36-33. But other than that, they pretty much cruise. Can Tulsa come up and nip them in the butt and just ruin their whole season?
Tulsa's been a really awful first half team this year. In almost every game I watch theirs, I don't know why. Some teams just have these weird trends. And I think if you get behind a team like Cincinnati, whose defense has been really good all year, and as you mentioned, statistically is going to run the ball down your throat, especially if Tulsa's defense comes out sluggish, I think Cincinnati gets the win. I think he had an extra week to prep. You got the better defense, clearly got a better offense. I think this game could be close. I think the spread might be okay, but I think Cincinnati wins. And then you know, they're probably going to be in the feed and get screwed, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I think Cincinnati keeps the zero on their record, and I think they pull out a victory. I just – Tulsa's been too inconsistent to beat a team in Cincinnati who's been about as consistently good as you can be for a team in their conference this year.
Do you think Tulsa beats Indiana? Neutral field. It's probably too late to get into this.
Yeah,
I just put fire on the flame.
The current Indiana team, yes. The with Penix, I think I would probably favor Indiana by like Indiana's probably a 3 to 4 point favorite, I would imagine.
Indiana, full strength would be a 3 point favorite over Tulsa.
I mean, with my gambling knowledge, which is somewhat decent, I would say they're probably, I mean, hell, I would guess probably around a four and a half point favorite. I would assume that's just my gambling chart in my head.
Interesting.
I don't know. Speculation, but yeah.
Right. I mean, all this is anyway.
Sure.
All right. Well, anything else that you, like I said, the Big Ten's playing, Northwestern, Ohio State. We both think Ohio State's going to win that. But the Michigan, Maryland, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, Penn State, Purdue, Indiana. Some of these are rivalries. Purdue, Indiana, obviously. And then, of course, my squad, Minnesota and Wisconsin playing. Wisconsin's a 12-point favorite, just so you know. 12-point favorite. They haven't even scored 12 points in 8 weeks, but they're a 12-point favorite. No, I'm just kidding. And like I said, watch, they're going to put up 40. Anything else you'd like to discuss, sir, before we tap out?
All right. So I think my Trojans win. Again, maybe, I don't know, hell, maybe if we win, we could, if the world explodes, we could make the Final Four. That'd be cool. Were you not going to talk about Lane Kiffin? Did he do something to offend you, or am I missing? Did I miss the memo on the prep?
I missed the memo on the 14 questions in the prep, but that's why I'm passing it off to you, sir, to let you close down. Unless you want to break down the Florida State Wake Forest game, we can.
Well, I mean, these are two incredible coaches I highly respect. The Raging Kid, the Raging Kid. Good old Miss is walking into good old Death Valley. Unfortunately, there's no fans there. Cause hell, I would go to that game in a heartbeat. Actually, I would be.
I believe you too. I think you would.
That would be. I would get to see my favorite coach, and I would get to see a game in Death Valley. That would be actually badass. Or just like this past weekend. I mean, Missouri played Georgia. They got killed. Then Missouri played Illinois in basketball on the same day on campus. Like I've been dying for a road trip. It feels like the World Series I went to of the Nationals and Astros feels like about 5 years ago now with the way this calendar's moved this year. Yeah. But yes, I think that Ole Miss LSU will be a fun game to watch. The over under 74. God almighty. I don't know if it's going to go over 74. And then my other boys I love, on top of USC and Ole Miss, Kiffin love, is Mizzou. Mizzou plays the cover, the good old Mike Leach, the ball coach. I'll say this about him, Chris. He got a ton of credit for beating LSU the first game of the year. And then he's a guy that he ruffles some feathers. Like, there's people that don't like him, and fair is fair. He's his own dude.
Well, especially if you're that kid that's left alone in a room after a concussion. But we won't get into that.
But, people like him or hate him. But he's now, for the past 3 weeks now, I think had about 47 scholarship players. But they've been going out for the guy. So I think he's got his squad now. He's got a quarterback now. So honestly, Mizzou at Mississippi State should be a fun one to watch. I hope my Mizzou boys win. I hope Ole Miss wins on the road. So I just wanted to remind you that there were some SEC games you just, you know, didn't want to touch because I was going to give love. And lastly, San Jose State. I was going to say,
we got one more game. Yep, that's it. That's a good game.
Such a cool story. Now, again, they're an underdog. They probably can't beat Boise. But 5 or 6 years ago, this was one of the worst programs in the whole nation. Like San Jose State, like you probably, not many people probably ever heard of them. They had like, I'm sure their weight room was shit. I'm sure you couldn't get any players. Like everything about that program was bad. But that coach came in and just has a team 6-0. You're playing for a conference title in the Mountain West, which is not like a joke of a conference. I mean, it's Boise's been good. So how cool of a story would it be to win the Mountain West Conference when 5 to 10 years ago, you were one of the worst programs out of 115 in the country? I hope they do. Their offense has been pretty good this year.
Boise State can't stop the run. Boise State can't stop the run. I'm picking my boys. What are they, 6-point underdog? I'm picking them. I don't care. This is an emotional pick, just so you know. And according, we almost forgot this. According to ESPN's Power Football Power Index, 68% they're going with Boise State. They're going with the Broncos. But you know what? There's no cheerleader tailback connection on this team. So I don't see, you know, the marriage thing. I don't see a Broncos tailback saying, will you marry me after a victory? I see San Jose spoiling their wedding.
All right. To wrap up the show, this is too good to be true. We're 10-3 on the year. We got to have one more, Chris. It's out. I scrolled through. It's out there. We got one knockout.
Why are you doing this to our bettors, dude? I mean, do you just want them to lose? Or do you want – maybe it's me. You want me to pick wrong.
Because this is a crappy game of the week.
We've never done crappy pick of the week in this section here. But all right, go ahead.
It's a regular season game.
Put a preference on this. 10-3, it's over, okay? 10-3.
10-3 on the year.
Season's done. You got me picking an extra game this year. Now I'm picking a second extra game? Jesus criminy.
Hey, when you've been friends with someone for 12 years, you know, it is what it is. We're all good, brother. All right. So we got ourselves a doozy because one of these schools is
I'm picking a tie. How about that? A tie.
I don't think a tie in regulation. That'd actually be a really good prop bet. That's probably like +700 off the bat. I respect that. Okay.
I think at half they're gonna fail. At the halftime they'll fail COVID tests.
All right. Okay. Or a lightning strike. A lightning strike could occur. All right. So we have two schools. Who one's known for football and they're trash, and one's not known for football and they got more wins on here than the football team. So to wrap it up, Evo, this is our dessert piece. This is the brownie on top of the cake. Okay, Chris had a 10-3 year. We're going to the Big Ten. This game's actually on the Big Ten Network, and you have the once proud black shirt defense. Now, when I started watching football as a kid, it was Tommy Frazier, Lawrence Phillips, and they had Tom Osborne. They had a sick ass team that no longer applies against Rutgers. This is the game where Nebraska at the end of the year is playing a Rutgers who has more wins on the season than they do. I never thought I would say that even in a weird year where at the end of the season, your last game, Rutgers has more wins than Nebraska. Chris, I want you to gladly enjoy a game where the Rutgers Scarlet Knights have a better record, yet are not favored in the ESPN FPI index. Go ahead, sir.
Well, can they rise to the occasion? So this is a crappy game, no doubt about it. Nebraska is only averaging 22 points. They're both giving up over 30. It definitely qualifies. It's a late qualifier, obviously, because I've already had to do an extra pick. This guy's got me. Do I get extra overtime money for this, too? Neither of them can stop the run. My God.
When I come home for Christmas, I'll buy you a bottle of liquor.
My God. This one is a tough one. Let me see here. I mean, the Rutgers, they've been playing so good lately, too, that I – just they won last week in overtime. You know what?
Is Chris going to pick Rutgers on the College Football Podcast?
Well, I was actually trying to not pick Nebraska. I've been thinking Rutgers the whole time. I've been trying to stay away from the Nebraska pick, but I'm looking. But I'm going with the Rutgers. University of Rutgers. The Rutgers. The Scarlet Knights is what I meant. The Scarlet Knights will get the job done. I don't know how. They're not, you know, they've just improved a little bit. I believe in the coach. They play after the whistle, because I remember that Tampa Bay game when they were trying to hurt somebody when someone was taking a knee. We played to the whistle and pass the whistle if we need to. So they're going to play Nebraska. They're still looking for their lawsuits for the Big Ten. So I'm going Rutgers to get the job done. Rutgers Scarlet Knights will close at a 4-5 season, and I'll have an 11-3 season. But if I lose, it doesn't count.
I love it. Moving forward, I will say the bowl games here, a lot of teams are already dropping out of bowls. We normally do have a fun show where we kind of predict bowl games because there's normally like 36 to choose from. Obviously, this year, if you're a college football fan, I know we all love bowl season just because it kind of leads to such a crazy shit show kind of a year. I do know some teams are going to play in bowl games. Obviously, Chris, as you know, like some top-notch teams are not going to want to pass one up. But I think our lower tier random poinsettia stripe bowls are probably not going to happen this year. So there will be some college football bowl games. And
hopefully some of these goes bankrupt. Hopefully some of these bowls go bankrupt during this time. That's the only thing I want bankrupt is the bowls.
So we will have probably a fun little bowl show. It probably won't be as fun as we've had before, but we normally have like one to go over the first set and then one to go over the more serious set. But as Chris, as we were saying before the show, to wrap this up, we do get games on New Year's Eve this year. On New Year's Day. So you can go out for New Year's Eve, have your fun, enjoy some cocktails, be thankful that 2020 is over and 2021 starts on New Year. So to the first day of 2021 should be two great football games, we hope. So to wrap up this show, I'm hoping for an upset. A lot of the games Chris and I just talked about were pretty decent big spreads. Obviously, our Raging Cajuns, I say are. I think they're going to lose, but that's still my adopted son. That's a close point spread. But besides that, if by chance Bama, Clemson, or Ohio State lose, next week's going to be a really fun podcast. I don't know if it can happen, but you don't know. That'd make for a really fun podcast. So until then, stay safe. I hope everyone is wearing a mask, enjoying time with their family. It's been such a long year. We really got to enjoy the holidays, especially for the way this crazy year's been. So thank you for listening to the podcast. The boys are out tonight. Peace.